All right. Anybody have a testimony tonight before we begin? Anybody want to thank the Lord for anything? You can blame him if you want to, but let's start by thanking him. Brother Darrell.
I'm really thankful for the good rain that we've had in the last three months, and the grass is really good.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that.
Okay. Amen. That has been refreshing. Brother Mike.
I praise the Lord that we're not flooding like some other states.
Yeah. We've got just the right amount of rain. Got what we need and less and not too much. That is a blessing. All right. That's the other hand. Shannon.
I want to praise the Lord for finding a place to keep my horse where I can go and ride her, where the boarding cost is less than the boarding very fair.
Okay. All right. Amen. All right. Sonia. Brother Bob.
Praise the Lord for where he put me right now.
Okay.
I got a chance to witness in the next 10 years.
Amen.
Said if I come back up here, I'm going to do some work for the Lord.
Okay.
And this is the best time for a day. I went over and walked into this apartment and witnessed his daughter.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Amen. That's good. Josh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, amen. Judy, was that, did I see your hand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I like to thank the Lord. I got to take you to the man that rides his bike all over Cambridge and rides it out past your house.
Mm-hmm.
Around here. I think he's got some underlying retardation, but I got to get in the car today and talk to him and get him fixed on that because I thought about him a lot. And
okay. Okay. It's the Lord. Amen. All right. Mike, are you allowed two praises in one night? Go ahead.
Sure. Okay. Actually, I'm going to double up on this.
Okay.
I praise the Lord. Our daughter Michelle had a very good checkup with her doctor when she signed last week. Very well. I was speaking with her today, and she was feeling much better. And that is a great praise.
Amen.
The other is, I pray that I was able to speak to ladies at work the other day and share the gospel with them. And give them a complete rundown pretty much on Baptist doctrine and King James Bible and Viking church.
Okay. All right. Amen. All right. Joyce, all the way in the back. All right. All right. Amen. And pray for Joyce in her work situation there. Tanner. All right. Amen. Brother Ed. Amen. Amen. We're glad to have you here. Alice. Amen. All right. Yes. Eric.
I'm thankful for everything that God has given me, my good friends, family, and Christians.
All right. Amen. Brother Kevin.
Like in another country other than Canada. When
right? Amen. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Glad to have you here. Yeah. All right. Tanner, you already went once again. What is it? All right. Amen. That was worth a second time. All right. Anybody else? Miranda. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Only today is she thankful, but I'll take it one day a year anyways. All right, Kyle. Amen. That's what makes him God. Amen. I saw Brother Tom. Did I see your hand? Oh, that was polite. Okay, Jay. Good. That explains that. I came out of my office back to this morning. He was standing there open and he said, "Pastor, thank you for the Bible." And I had no idea what he was talking about. I said, "You're welcome, Jake." So at least now I know what I was involved in. I'm glad to find that out. Amen. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. Amen. Tom, you going to take your turn now? Okay. Okay. All right. Amen. Anybody else? Done a lot, but I don't want to cut anybody off. Okay. Well, I'm thankful. It's Father's Day, and I'm thankful that I got to hear from all of my kids today. My daughter, Chris, called from Germany this afternoon, got to talk to her for a while. Pray for her. Her and Jeremy will be coming back to the States August 1st. And then she's going to be stationed out in California for the next brief period of time. Been in Germany for 4.5 years and coming back and be home for 2 weeks before they go out to California to be stationed stateside for a while. And Matt, I got in this morning, and Matt had emailed me from Congo, Africa, and sent a nice little happy Father's Day message. And so it was good to hear from him and pray for him and Adriana and their mission work over there. And then Bob and Sarah called me last night and said they'd be coming down today for Father's Day. It's a blessing to get to see everybody. Of course, the rest of them all live at home. I see them all the time. But they're always a blessing. So I get to see these also. And I told Bob last night, he said he's coming. I said, okay, we'll preach. That will make it Father's Day. So in the afternoon, I won't have to worry and have my thoughts together. I'll get to enjoy Father's Day and relax a little bit. And you can just come down. And since you're going to be here anyways, you can preach for us. So how do you say no when your dad asks you to do it that way? And so I'm glad that they're here this evening and glad they made time to come down from Massillon. Just finished school again for the year. He's got one more year to go, Bible college. He and Sarah both will graduate this time next year. And so we're glad to have him here this evening. And I'm going to invite him to come up at this time and go ahead and take it from here.
Well, I do always appreciate the opportunity to be here. Brother Jeff, do I have this thing on right? Looks like I do. I know it's Father's Day and all, but you didn't have to let the fathers pick the color of the flowers. I don't know how that happened. Oh, when you mentioned the camp, I don't think, and I was just telling my dad this week that I don't remember my childhood at all. For whatever reason, I just have a terrible memory. Well, for whatever reason, but I do remember one camp, and I don't remember a whole lot from it. But I do remember going down there, and I can remember it was the night that Matt was called to preach. Not just called to preach, I don't know if he'd been called to preach before that night, I don't remember. But he was called to Congo, Africa. And I remember that, him coming up and right before the invitation and saying, something's happening. And there was probably 15, 16 kids that night called to preach, called a missionary somewhere. I don't know for a fact or anything else, but I would venture to say, just from the majority of situations like that, that the majority of those kids or the percentage of those guys that were at that night probably aren't still preaching and probably aren't fulfilling their calling. Matt is, and that's a blessing. But that's one memory I have from camp. The other one I won't mention because I think it costs money. But if you'll turn to two different places in your Bibles, I'd like to look at Proverbs chapter 23, and actually if you want to go from left to right, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Lord laid this on my heart here recently, just thinking about the way that we think and thinking about, someone said that people can't think freely due to the restriction of restricting baggage of their influences. I'll say that again. People can't think freely due to the restricting baggage of their influences. God has a way that He wants us to think. God cares about our thought life, if you will. God looks at our hearts and He looks at what we're thinking about, and God cares what we're thinking about. But people cannot think freely due to the restricting baggage of their influences. It'll be nice to know what we'll be thinking like when we're in heaven. One of the most important things to me, or one of the things I hold dear to my heart when I think about the future, when I think about leaving this world, when I think about heaven, I'm not a big pearl guy. So I don't care a whole lot about pearls, alright? So I'm looking forward to heaven, but I don't care a whole lot about pearls, alright? And there's a lot of people that'll get up and say, I can't wait to see the street of gold, and I can't wait to see walls made of this, and I can't wait to see whatever jasper is, and I can't wait to see all these things. I'll be honest with you. There's one thing I'm looking forward to. That's seeing Jesus Christ. The other thing is the lack of insecurity. There's no insecurity in heaven. There is not 1% thought of insecurity in heaven. No fear for your life. No fear for your welfare. No fear for relationships. No fear for finances. No fear for whether your VW is going to make it or not. No fear. There is no insecurity in heaven. One of the most important things for anyone is to take hold fast of your salvation. Why is that? Because you can take that, you can hold on to that thing like a security bar. You can just hold on to that thing with a death grip, and you can know for the rest of your life that no matter what happens, you're saved. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, take hold of your salvation. Make that thing crystal clear. Make that thing 100% positive. It'll give you confidence. But in this life, while we're here, we have a hard time thinking. I'm in Psalm chapter 28. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 23 first. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 1. And we'll flip over to 1 Chronicles 28. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 1. God's Word says, when thou sittest to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, which I picture a little cupcake. I don't know if I'm the only, it's not, it says meat later on, but when I see the word dainty, I don't think of meat, I think of a little cupcake. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meat. Verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And eventually that thought process, eventually what's deep inside of him will affect the outcome of what your dealings are with him. Whatever he might be saying or whatever pluses might be on the outside or at the start, it's not going to end up good. It's not going to end up a good situation because his heart, his thoughts are not right. His thoughts are not right. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles in chapter 28, King David is giving a speech. He talks about God earlier on, howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me in verse number 4, verse number 5, and of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chose Solomon my son. He's telling the nation how God has dealt with him. And we'll see in verse 9 what King David has to say to Solomon directly. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9, and God's Word says, and thou, Solomon my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. I'm going to tell you one thing. We'll go back to read that verse again. The first time that individuals' thought process, the first time that human beings think in the Bible is right before the flood. When God looks down at the earth and He says, they're thinking, their imagination is evil, their thoughts are evil, they're thinking, they're headed in the wrong direction. He had to do something about that. Our nature and our thinking needs help. Our nature and our thinking, we don't have the right philosophy. Hey, we don't have the right philosophy about marriage. Hey, this world, and we do not have the right philosophy about child raising. Hey, we do not have the right philosophy about our finances. Hey, we do not have the right way of thinking. We do not have the right what's deep inside our heart, how we feel. When it comes down to it, it's the way we're going to automatically react. We need help with how we think as human beings, as individuals, as fathers, as friends, as church members here at Bible Baptist Church. We need help with the way that we think as individuals. Read that verse again, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. We're going to look at the Lord's searching of the hearts, and what He finds when He looks at our thoughts. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank You again for another opportunity to learn Your Word. God, we thank You for Your Word, the truth that's in it. God, I just pray that You would come down from heaven. God, give us something fresh, give us something warm, give us something new from You. God, we love You. God, You've done so much for us, each individual one. God, the 20 praises already given. God, the prayers and the songs sung to You, we love You, God. We thank You for our salvation. God, we just ask that You would teach us something here tonight, God, that could help us to improve our standing with You. God, help us to improve our relationship with You. We do love You, God. And we will give You and only You praise and glory for all it's done in Jesus' precious, loving, teaching name. Amen. God has something for us when it comes to our thought life. God has something that we want to learn. God looks on the heart as man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And the thought is that what a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that when God looks at you, how He judges you is based on how you adorn yourself, because he's looking at your heart, and how you dress yourself and how you adorn yourself with thoughts. How you dress your heart, how you build up your heart, what you're living like in your heart, and it's based upon your thought. What's your thought life like today? What do you think about? People can't think freely due to the restricting baggage of their influences. I'll tell you what, I'm married now. I wasn't always married. And I think a whole lot different about marriage today than I did 10 years ago. Hey, I had something to learn. I had a whole lot to learn. I got a whole lot more to learn. All right, there's a lot to learn. But I pray that my thinking is right here, and this is where God wants it to be. And I pray that that my thinking is not influenced by my flesh, that my thinking is not influenced by what the world says a husband should be like, that my thinking is not influenced by my lack of Bible reading and my lack of care and concern for God and my lack of intensity for what He would have me to do, but that my thinking would line up with what God would have me to think, and that my impact in life would be correct. And then when God would look at me and He would look at my heart, He would see a proper way of thinking. A proper way of thinking. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That brings up the question in my mind, if you don't know what to think, what does that make you? If what you're thinking makes you who you are, and you don't know what to think, what does that make you? That makes you unstable. That makes you double-minded. That makes you confused. And I'll tell you what, you go out and you leave this church building confused about which Bible's right, you're going to be confused. Hey, leave this church building thinking that abortion is all right and that the life of a young child really doesn't matter. If you leave here, well, I'm not really sure and I don't really care, and that's what your thinking on it is, you're going to be an unstable individual. You're going to be a double-minded individual. You're going to hear one thing, and yeah, that makes sense. Then you're going to hear another thing. Well, that's got to be true. That makes sense. And you're going to be confused. If what your thought in your heart makes you who you are, and you don't know what you're thinking, or how to think right, or where to seek a proper thought life, what does that make you? Let's seek tonight to find a proper way to think. Let's seek tonight for God to speak to your heart and for God to speak to you and find something lacking. That's what we want, is it not? We want for God to find what part it is that's lacking, to add something to it, because He has an abundant life for us to live here on this earth. An abundant spiritual life. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What was Eve thinking when she was talking to the devil? What was Eve thinking? She's walking with God in the cool of the garden. She has that relationship with God. She has a perfect relationship with God. Here comes the devil, and she talks to him. What was David thinking when he's sitting in his castle, or his palace, in whatever room, his game room at his palace, he's sitting in there and he's just thinking, oh, I'm kind of being tempted to go up on the roof. What was David thinking? If you think he was later on in his life. He wasn't a young man. He was later on in his life. All that God had brought him through, all the Psalms that had been written up to that point, all the divine inspiration, David was a holy man. You know how you know that? Because he wrote a book of the Old Testament. And holy men wrote the books of the Old Testament. He was a holy man. What was he thinking? What was Eve thinking when Satan started talking on his heart? Behold, I have to stand at the door and knock. Satan knocks on the door too. Satan knocks on your heart. Satan knocks on the door and he has something for you too. He has a poison for you. He has an evil for you. He has a wickedness for you. He has another way. What was Eve thinking? Talking to him. Even talking to him. What was David thinking when he began to be tempted? What was he thinking? For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14 and 15 says this, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." Hey, that opportunity is going to come. That opportunity is going to come for you to put the Bible away, for you to put it on the shelf. Hey, that opportunity is going to come tonight. Hey, that opportunity is going to come when you're in the workplace and the people are talking, the opportunity to the perverted joke to laugh. It's going to come. It's going to be there. Hey, the opportunity for the temptation from the devil is going to be there. The persecution for being a Christian is going to be there. We hired four or five. We hired a bunch of new people. We're expanding the company I work for. I wish I was talking about the church, man. Well, the company I work for, we're expanding. All right, so we hired a bunch of new people in, and we brought these people in. And I don't go up to people and say, "I'm a Christian. Watch what you say around me." You know, I don't go around to people and say, "I'm in Bible college, so don't curse in my presence." All right, I don't say that. Unsaved people do unsaved things. All right, and they're going to notice eventually. All right, so I'm not rubbing it in their face that I carry a Bible. All right, but they came in there and they started working a couple of days, vulgar and perverse and making jokes, and that's just how they are, you know. And you just ignore it and you go on about your day. If church comes up, I'll invite them. If the opportunity comes up, break room, hey, I'll talk to them there. But I'm not going to waste the time on the clock and on, you know how it goes. But this guy comes up and they're making their jokes and they're making their comments. One guy goes, "Hey, I heard you were in the Marines." "Yeah, I was in the Marines. How long? 4 years. What are you doing now?" "I'm in college." "What for?" "Well, I'm going to Massillon Baptist College, Bachelor of Divinity." "What does that do?" I said, "I'm going into the pastorate." His face turned beet purple. He said, "In the way I was talking around you, the way I was talking." I said, "Well, does it feel good to know that there's good people out there?" He goes, "Well, yeah." I said, "Well, there's a better way to talk. Would you like to have a reason to talk better?" You know, I mean, his face just turned beet purple in the way I was talking around you. You know, unsaved people talk unsaved. That's the language they speak. Saved people have a language too. Saved people have a language too. And that should be noticed. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." If you'll turn to the Revelations in chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. What were they thinking, even allowing the devil to talk to them? What were they thinking? If you remember the story, and when I say story, I'm talking about an actual factual event. If you remember the story of Abraham, what a faithful man. One of the most faithful men that is in the Bible. A man of God. Another holy man. A man that God gave promises to. A man that saw God keep those promises. If you remember, and anyone that thinks of Abraham and Sarah in the sister and wife situation, what was Abraham thinking? What was Abraham thinking to come up to that king and say, "Well, she's not really my wife, she's my sister"? Abraham and Sarah traveling through, it's a drought in this area, they need to go to this area for some help, but they're worried about the king, and Abraham is worried for his life. And so, because he's worried that his wife is so beautiful, he's worried they're going to kill him to take his wife. So he says, "Take her, she's not my wife, she's my sister." As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I bet the year before, someone would have said, "Abraham, no way. He'd never do something like that. That's crazy." The same Abraham, you're talking about, was it Lot's uncle? No way. Not that Abraham. He would never have that lack of faith. He would never not follow God into that dangerous situation and follow through. However, he did. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." By the way, it became a repeated problem. By the way, it became a problem that passed generations, and it became a family problem. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Abraham had a little bit of a problem. He was a bad husband, obviously. And he was a liar. If you look at Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 21, look at verse 8, God's Word says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." We've got a problem with the way we think. Hey, we've got a problem and we need some help. Can I tell you, one of our biggest problems is our ability and our allowance of lying to ourselves, to our spouses, to our children, to our coworkers, to our church, to God. We have a problem with lying. If you haven't found that out about yourself yet, you need to get to this altar. You're a liar. You're a liar. Or I used to think, hey, I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a liar. And I started to find out, oh, well, yeah, well, I guess when you think it out that way, I guess I do. Yeah, I guess that's not the complete truth. I said that? No, I said, Sarah just the other day, she said, well, this happened, didn't it? And I don't remember what it is. No, you said it did. When? When you were 15? I don't remember that. But if I did, it was a lie. It was a blatant. I told her, I said, if I said that, that was a blatant lie. I don't remember what it was, but there's no way. I told her I went to Florida or something. I've never been to Florida. I don't know what's going on in Florida. I said, if I said that, that was a blatant lie. We're liars. We're liars. We have a thinking problem. We have an honesty problem. And can I tell you, when God looks down at our hearts, and when God looks at the way we think, we have a philosophy problem. The way that we think about everything without God's help, we need some help. We're a little bit messed up. Look at all these horrible, terrible things that are listed of individuals that will have their place in a lake which burneth with fire. In the last one it says, and all liars. God has a serious, serious issue with lying. If we as husbands would come to God and say, God, I want to live an honest life, maybe our wives would be a little bit more secure with us. Hey, if we as wives would come to God, if we'd get down on our knees and say, any amount of untruth, try to reword it, any amount of untruth, God, I want to get rid of it. I don't even want to think about not telling the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I don't want to lie. God, work in me, create in me a truthful heart. He searches the heart. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What was Abraham thinking? Being a liar. What are we thinking? Thinking that we can live a life of untruth or a life that's mostly truthful with a little untruth mixed in and think that, number one, God doesn't see it when He searches the heart, searches all the hearts. But who are we to think that it doesn't offend a holy God? That it doesn't offend a loving Father? One more. What was Samson thinking? What was Samson thinking? Hey, I'm a patriotic man too, brother. I'm a patriotic man. And I'll tell you what, I'm already married, so I can definitely say it, but I'm not going to marry a Muslim. I'm not going to marry a Muslim carrying a weapon shooting at an American. Because I'm a patriotic person. Do you remember the story of Samson? I never understood how Samson, fighting for the nation of Israel, called of God, his parents were spoken to by an angel, the angel of the Lord, he was brought up in the right way, he was brought up to follow certain statutes, he was brought up to be religious, he was brought up and taught who God was, taught what an offense it was for anyone to stand up against the people of God. Just like we think when people take the Lord's name in vain, just the way we feel, the same way, right? Well, what would someone think? And he goes and marries a Philistine. Goes to marry a Philistine. Direct opposition to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Hey, he says, that unclean thing, hey, Samson, get away from the Philistines. Not only are you uniting with them, you're stopping fighting against them. And fighting against them will show the nation of the Philistines who the nation of Israel is, and how that God has a bond with them, and how that God has a covenant with them, and they'll see the difference between their God and your God, and that will draw them to God. Hence the purpose of the nation of Israel. And not only did he stop fighting, he united with them. And the Bible tells to us in the New Testament, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing." Hey, that way that He told us about in Proverbs, to pass away from it, not even to come up to it, not even to understand. The Bible tells us to be simple to sin, to be simple to iniquity. Hey, we don't have to know what it's like to smoke a cigarette. Hey, we don't have to know what it's like to drink a drink. Hey, we don't have to know. It doesn't make us a little bit wiser to take a bite out of that apple. It doesn't make us a little bit better to unite with the Philistines, or to unite with the Philistines' ways, or to go through Philistine rituals, or to turn our back on what God's given us and to unite with the other. What was Samson thinking? How does God see Eve? How does God see Abraham? Hey, it was brought up in this morning service. You weren't in it because you were faithful to your church down here, all right. But in my morning service, all right, it was brought up the fact that Sarah was obedient to Abraham when God called Abraham out of Egypt. And Abraham was right dead center in the middle of God's will, and Sarah followed him. And then Abraham didn't follow, got out of the will of God, disobeyed God, and Sarah still followed him. Loyalty was based on whether it was obedient to God or not, how close it was to God or not. Okay, so it might make a little bit of sense to unite with that Philistine. It might make a little bit of sense to wonder about what Satan has to tempt us with. All right, it might make a little bit of sense just to see what the way of the ungodly is like. It might make a little bit of sense. I'm telling you, it doesn't make any sense. There's no good in it. Stay away from it. Pass away from it. Turn your back on it, and turn your eyes on God. Lift your heart up to God in the heavens. What was Samson thinking? It's Father's Day, so I wrote the next verse down. The verse I already read, 2 Corinthians 6, 17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." The next verse says this, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Hey, you don't know what you're missing when your thinking's messed up. You don't know what you're missing when your relationship with your Heavenly Father is a little bit messed up. You don't know what you're missing. He says, don't go around that stuff. Don't touch that stuff. Don't look at the way that they're in. Don't want to be like them. Stay completely away from them. Here's how you walk. Here's how you live. And when you're not, you don't know what you're missing. And when you're with me, you have a father. When you're with me, you have a spiritual father. The Lord God Almighty. We don't know what we're missing. I already said one more, but we're going to one more. Hey, we didn't look at Cain, all right? We didn't look at the New Testament church when they got the letters from the epistles and how excited they were to see God's Word. What was Peter thinking in Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said later on, "I will be denied." Peter said, quoting, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter was a passionate man. Peter was someone that embraced Jesus Christ when he was living on this earth. Hey, a lot of people walked away. You remember the one man that came up and said, "What do I have to do? I'll follow you." And he said, "Birds of the air and fowls of the air and somebody else somewhere else." All right, and he said, "Son of man hath nowhere to lay his head, to rest his head." And he said, "I want a place to sleep at night. I can't give up my place to sleep at night." And he went home. Another man came up and said, "Hey, I'm an entrepreneur. I've made a lot of money. I've done well for myself. God, what do you want me to do with it?" And he said, "Give it to the poor and follow me." He went home sad. Hey, there were a lot of people, while Jesus' ministry was happening in those 3 years on this earth. By the way, he didn't start till he was 30. All right, so that's later on. So no matter, and there's others that have started even farther on after that, and on and on and on and on and on and on. All right, so whatever age you're at, whatever place you're at in life, God still has something for you, and God still has a ministry for you, and God still has some preaching for you to do. Man, woman, child, whoever you might be, God has something for you. All right, Jesus didn't start his ministry till he was 30 years old. The reason I'm saying that, I was talking to a man earlier today who's 36 and said that he couldn't, his life's over, he can't do anything else anymore. You're 36 and you're called to preach. Jesus Christ said he would be denied. Peter's response, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." What was Peter thinking? "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." To deny the one that you followed for 3 years. To deny the one that gave you power over unclean spirits. To deny the one that gave you the ability to walk on water. To deny the one that you saw take a piece of bread and turn it into a bunch of pieces of bread. To deny the one that went out and caught a fish and it, well, just like he said, there was a gold coin and I'll go pay our taxes with it. To deny that one that he said, "Be it far from thee, Lord. Be it far from thee. Even if everybody else turns their back on me, I will not deny thee." At that point, Peter had a thinking problem. And he didn't realize it. Jesus Christ did, and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan." Jesus Christ was looking at his heart. He's looking at, "Hey, you haven't even been understanding half of the things I've been preaching to you for the past 3 years. Hey, you don't even know what's about to happen. Hey, you don't even know about the church I'm starting. Hey, you don't even know about the ministry that's coming on right here about the corner. Hey, you don't even know what I'm going to do. You got a thinking problem, Peter." And he looks at his heart. Not on the outside, a man ready to do anything for Jesus Christ. A man ready to do anything on the outside. But God looked at his heart and he saw a thinking problem. A thought problem. A struggling thought life. What is our world thinking today? The world starves. All over the world, people starve. And yet they reject the bread of life. Many children drown in the sea of life while rejecting the master and creator that calmed the storm. The world murders children, drugs up the emotionally and mentally disabled while turning their back to the promise of an abundant life. You know, the excuse for abortion is because that child would have never had a good life. Jesus Christ promises an abundant life to anyone that's obedient to Him. Jesus Christ promises an abundant life for a child that is saved, that accepts Jesus Christ as its Savior. The world murders children while turning their back on the promise of abundant life. The world hates purity, cleanliness, and sanctity, ignoring the scriptural warnings and signs of the imminent peril. The world seeks an end to war and rejects the Prince of Peace. Individuals attempt to use their God-given ability to think Individuals attempt to become their own divine judge, blaspheming the only potentate, the righteous judge. We need to clean up our thinking. We need to clear up our thinking. We've got negative influences on our thought life. By the way, the millennial reign, when Jesus Christ rules and reigns on this earth and there is great life and there seriously is a perfect civil government and everything's going fine and at the end the devil's loose and as many turn to Him, after living for that, all those years during the millennial reign, all those people living a perfect life, they turn their back the moment the devil's released and he says, come to me and we'll fight that person that gave you that. No negative influences. They still turn their back. No negative influences dragging them down. They still turn their back. As many as the sands of the sea. What makes you think you're protected from that? What makes you think with the influences, with the temptation of the world, with that same devil that tempted Eve in the garden, still out here today, still fighting Jesus Christ, what makes you think that you're immune from thinking wrong? We need to clean up our thought life. There's only one that can think for us. Proverbs chapter 30 says, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand to thy mouth. Close your mouth. Because if you're thinking wrong, you're saying wrong. And if you're thinking wrong, you're acting wrong. And not only that, but you better put your hand to your mouth. You better be in awe. You better be shocked. You better take it as a serious thing. You better take it as a serious offense because someone is being affected by it. If you would turn to Philippians chapter 4. If you know this verse, if you have it committed to memory, you knew we were going here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. What dwells in your thoughts determines your being. What dwells, what reigns, what rules, what takes up the majority of the time in your thought life, what is in your thought life, what rules and reigns in your thoughts determines who you are. And when God looks at your heart, He sees the thoughts. We want to have a strong spiritual father. We want to have a good relationship with our spiritual father. Let's clean up our thought life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren. I thought I'd get an amen in there. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What things? Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Hey, He's not giving you some off-the-wall foreign thing you've never heard of. He's saying, hey, remember the things that you've seen and heard and done in the other believer. Hey, you just had 20-something praise. I've never heard so many praises in my life. You just heard all those praises, and He says, think on those things. You're going to go out of this door, and you are going to hear every negative possible thing that could ever be said. The Bible describes it that your flesh can have no rest, and that there'll be fightings without, and there'll be fears within. But God that comforteth the weak, but God that comforteth those that are struggling, but God that comforteth, He will comfort in that time of struggling, in that time when you just don't know what to think, and so you're a little bit unstable, and you're a little bit double-minded, man, He'll give you that stable truth. He'll give you that sword that cuts it right down to a point, and He'll give you exactly what you need, and it'll improve your life, and it'll give you that abundance, and it'll improve your marriage, and it'll make you a better child, and it'll make you a better Sunday school member, and it'll make you a better Sunday school teacher, and a witness in your job, and a witness in your work, and it'll be a truth that you can hold fast to, that you can rely on, and your thinking, it'll be straight. And your thinking, it'll be reliable. And you'll have a strong thought life. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God can move. The Word of God can act. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God can impact your life, your soul. Our Heavenly Father, the Bishop of our souls, if you'd stand tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You might say tonight that you don't think about a whole lot of negative things. Maybe you don't think enough about a lot of positive things. Maybe if God were to search all the hearts tonight, He would stop at yours and say, "What is that?" Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank You for this night. We thank You for the teaching. God, we thank You for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Hearts as they're sitting in their pews. Hearts as they're standing singing. God, hearts as the music plays. Please speak to our hearts. Let us commit some more time of our thought. Let us commit some more space in our heart to You, a loving Savior. In Jesus' precious name, amen. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, as the music plays, think on these things. Come forward.